To introduce our next topic, let's hear from ABBA. There are two six-wheeled rovers trundling across Mars. To the casual eye, they are identical. But take a careful look, and they are quite different in their instrumentation. As it roves Mars, the Perseverance rover has been drilling holes into rocks and stowing them in capsules for eventual return to Earth. Rocket Lab is one company developing a plan to retrieve these samples.
Last October, Rocket Lab announced they had been selected by NASA to complete a study for retrieving rock samples from the Martian surface and bringing them to Earth for the first time. The mission would fulfill some of the highest priority solar system exploration goals for the science community, to revolutionize humanity's understanding of Mars, potentially answer whether life ever existed on the Martian surface, and help prepare for the first human explorers to the Red Planet. A previous joint NASA and European Space Agency plan was scuppered as being too expensive. NASA's rapid mission design studies for Mars sample return solicits industry proposals to carry out rapid studies of mission designs and mission elements capable of delivering samples collected by the Mars Perseverance rover from the surface of Mars to Earth. The results of this study will inform a potential update to NASA's Mars sample return program and may result in future procurements with industry. Rocket Lab's study will explore a simplified end-to-end mission concept that would be delivered for a fraction of the current projected program cost and completed several years earlier than the current expected sample return date in 2040. Sir Peter Beck, Rocket Lab founder and chief executive officer, said,
"Retrieving samples from Mars is one of the most ambitious and scientifically important endeavors humanity has ever embarked upon. We've developed an innovative mission concept to make it happen affordably and on an accelerated schedule. Rocket Lab has been methodically implementing a strategy for cost-effective planetary science in recent years, making us uniquely suited to deliver a low-cost, rapid Mars sample return. We've demonstrated this strategy by delivering a NASA mission to the Moon, enabling rendezvous and proximity operations in orbit, successfully re-entering a capsule from orbit to Earth, delivering two spacecraft to NASA for escapade mission to Mars, and much more. We look forward to bringing our proven capabilities together to deliver a compelling, innovative mission solution that puts Mars rocks in the hands of scientists sooner."
Rocket Lab's proposed mission architecture will be revealed once the study is complete.
The reason Rocket Lab is involved is because the earlier NASA and ESA plan to retrieve the Perseverance was simply deemed too expensive by the NASA administration last year. Mission planners were told to go away, put on your thinking caps, and come back with a cheaper plan. Early this year, they gave a progress report on their deliberations. First, what about the simplified plan?
Our first question comes from Marcia Dunn with AP. Your line is open.
Yes, hi, thank you. I know the original plan involved, seemed like a dozen or more spacecraft coming and going. How many spacecraft vehicle are we talking about for option one and two? How many fewer spacecraft and launches than the original plan? Thank you.
Nikki, I want you or your team to answer that. I just want to point out, underscore what Nikki said. It's a simplified architecture. It is cleaning the tubes on the surface of Mars instead of doing that in the return vehicle, the European return vehicle. It's a simplified catcher's mitt program. It's using one of the already created arms for Perseverance as the means by which of transferring the tubes out of Perseverance over into the lander, which then transfers them into the Mars Ascent Vehicle. So the architecture all the way around, she mentioned also the generation of electricity and the reason that needed to be changed. So the whole system not only is smaller in volume and smaller in weight, but is a much more simplified system all the way through. Go ahead, Nikki.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that. Thanks for the question, Marcia. So it doesn't actually reduce the number of. I mean, we still need to launch. So there's still a launch of the landing system, and there's still a the MAV to launch from the surface of Mars, and there's still the Earth return orbiter to essentially return the samples back to. To Earth. There's no easy way to get rid of any of these elements. These elements are there throughout. It's just really focusing on simplifying each of those pieces, as the administrator just said. But the actual launch and landing hardware, the number, the tally remains the same.
The voices of then NASA Administrator Bill Nelson and Nikki Fox of NASA headquarters. Well, there's a study going on, and they're due to report next year.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jeff Faust with Space News. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. Question for her, either the administrator or Dr. Fox. What exactly is NASA going to be doing between now and sometime in 2026 when you make the decision on the architectures? What are you going to be studying over the next year plus? What sort of level of maturity in the designs are you going to get to before you make a decision? Thanks.
Yeah, great question. And thanks, Mr. Administrator. Thanks, Jeff. Great question. So we will be working very hard on the engineering design for each of these solutions. So even though we say, you know, it's the Heritage Sky Crane landing system, of course it is a very high heritage landing system, but the actual, it needs to be about 20% bigger than the Sky Crane that landed Perseverance. And so there is the engineering that goes into that piece. There is the engineering study that goes into looking at how to produce that lower mass Mars Ascent Vehicle. There's all of the kind of the, it's almost the normal engineering that we would do to get it up to the preliminary design, the PDR level maturity. And the milestone for that is mid-2026. And so at that point, we would expect that each of these elements would have got their engineering design up to PDR level, and then we would be ready to go for agency confirmation. There are obviously, for any industry-provided elements, there would be milestones for them to demonstrate in that plan as well, so that when we get to that decision point, we have all the information we need to be able to make the right decision for the mission.
7FM. The sounds of the Bayside.
There are many ideas about how to bring those samples back to Earth. When they arrive, what do you do? Do they just barrel straight into the Earth's atmosphere and parachute down? Or do you put them into Earth orbit and send another spacecraft up to get them? Or do you put them into orbit around the Earth and the Moon? That's called cislunar. What will you do? Well, this is the question asked.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nell Greenfeld-Boyce with NPR. Your line is open.
Thank you for having this briefing. Happy New Year. Administrator Nelson, you mentioned there was a difference of opinion on direct return to Earth versus, say, putting samples in lunar orbit. Why does NASA prefer direct return to Earth? And also, you mentioned the Mars Sample Return Strategy Review Team. What recommendations did they have that you all chose not to pursue? Thank you.
If you send the sample into cislunar, then you've got the additional cost, engineering, and time to have to go retrieve it and bring it to Earth. And if you can bring it safely on the European return vehicle straight to Earth. That's why NASA's preference is to have direct return. Yes, there was a difference of opinion on that team, and I'll let Nikki speak to that.
Thanks so much. Actually, you nailed it. That's exactly why we prefer the direct Earth. It actually, overall, it reduces complexity because there's one less element. Otherwise, you almost have to add a fourth leg to Mars sample return to go and find the ARF in Cisluna and return it to Earth. It does add cost in the near years because you are moving ahead with, you know, you're kind of trying to do everything in parallel, but there's significant cost added in the out years if we have to budget to actually go and get those samples back from Cisluna. So there was some discussion with the review team about which path to go forward. And they provided options for both the Cisluna as well as the direct Earth return. We chose to try and move ahead with the direct Earth return. It does bring the samples back sooner, and as I say, it reduces complexity and actually reduces overall cost for the mission.
We have already heard Rocket Lab's proposal for this simplified mission, but there are other proposals.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Joey Roulette with Reuters. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. This question, I guess, is for anyone who wants to answer. I was wondering if you could detail some of the ideas that the companies proposed for these missions and what the pros and cons would be between choosing the commercial version instead of the sky crane option. Thanks.
Yeah, sure. I mean, as I said, there are going to be milestones to show that both paths forward would actually be able to return the samples on the schedule that we want to do. I don't really want to go into a lot of details about what was in the individual studies because there is proprietary information in there. So I'll speak more generally that, you know, we've tried to sort of all the goodness that that I listed, all those great ideas that we took to actually simplify the mission. All of those came from the various different studies, either from industry or from our internal NASA or JPL or APL studies that came in. There were different concepts for how to land on Mars. We looked at each of those concepts. We sort of boiled it down to going with a higher heritage sky crane when we were able to actually do the engineering simplifications to actually allow us to be able to use a sky crane, basically getting the mass down of the landed mass. And then in the industry studies, some of those had a kind of sky crane architecture. Some of them had powered landings, and some of them had a large landing capability.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Joel Achenbach with Washington Post. Your line is open.
Thank you so much. One question is, were you hoping to make a final decision by now? I mean, you're not deciding finally whether you're going to go one path or the other. Why can't you decide now which is the best option? And just to clarify one thing, the sky crane method, would that be a JPL operation since they invented the sky crane? Thank you.
Nikki, you take the last part on the sky crane. The reason Nikki has explained that they need to flesh out all of the possibilities of what's required in the engineering for the commercial option. We want to have the quickest, cheapest way to get these 30 samples back. And the next reason to answer your question is, this is going to be a function of the new administration in order to fund this. And it's an appropriation that has to start right now, fiscal year 25, and it's going to have to continue on. It's going to have to continue at a level that you could get either with the heavy lift vehicles, get back in a direct return in 2035, as opposed to stretching it out in the decade. Going to be a direct function of how the appropriations goes. So for those two reasons is why we are at the point announcing to you the two options today with regard to the sky crane, Nikki.
Yeah, thanks so much, Bill. So yes, I mean, to put it really bluntly, JPL is our NASA, is our Mars Center in NASA science. So regardless of which path we go forward with, JPL will have a key role moving forward. They are the ones with the experience of landing on Mars, as you noted, Joel. You know, they are the people who landed us on Mars together with our industry partners. So they would be moving forward regardless of which path with a key role in the Mars sample return.
And that press conference was held in January of this year. Enter stage center Donald Trump and his cronies. They are obsessed with ruining the United States economy and, at the same time, putting Americans on Mars. That is, United States Americans, not other North, Central, or South Americans. To do this, they will need more than a bucket load of money. So why, Trump's cronies ask, spend money on an automated mission to retrieve Perseverance's sample capsules when a human could just use a spade and dig up some Martian dirt? Trump's proposed NASA budget cancels Mars sample return and uses the money as a down payment towards the vastly more expensive humans to Mars. Well, a few days ago, Madison Malone discussed Mars sample return with Rocket Lab's founder, Sir Peter Beck, for her Markets with Madison report. They were speaking in Auckland.
The Mars sample return is facing some challenges, some uncertainty, I guess you could say. I know that you have a real soft spot.
It's been killed. It's not.
Has it been killed? I thought that they were just delaying it. Have they fully cancelled it?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody said they've fully cancelled it. But I mean, if you looked in the president's budget, he had said that we're not looking to do Mars sample return
because they plan on sending humans to Mars instead.
That's right. Yep.
I know you have a real soft spot for multiplanetary missions, and not to mention that video was just really epic. Does that mean that going to Mars is off the table for Rocket Lab, at least for now, by the sounds of it?
Well, not really. I mean, basically anything in, a space wins, we win. So anything that goes to Mars, the chances are it will have a Rocket Lab logo on it. Now, we'll see what happens with Mars sample return, because I think that might get a little bit interesting from a political standpoint, because China have made it very clear that they're going to go and get samples. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and if it survives through the there's a president's budget and then it goes through the whole Congress and all the rest of it. So we'll see what spits out the other end. But I mean, it's those samples are bored and cut and sitting on the surface on the planet. And a lot of people think they're just dirty old rocks. Some of those samples, have the keys to biological markers and all sorts of really, really interesting stuff. So I don't see rocks on the surface. I see like Nobel Prizes sitting on the surface of that planet. And so I think they will eventually be got, whether it's this administration or another one, they'll eventually get got.
Do you think they should be got before humans eventually get up there? Should that be something that we do as a world before sending humans up to Mars?
I don't think it necessarily needs to be digital. I think those two things can happen in parallel. I don't think one thing has to happen the other. But, I mean, the reality is we absolutely have the capability to go and get those now. And their scientific value will be, recognised and exploited now. Boots on Mars is still a very, very challenging thing to do that we think we can do, but, of course, hasn't been demonstrated yet.
And now we'll go back to that press conference that was held in January this year.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Issam Ahmed with AFP. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to clarify that in both the legacy and the private options, would you still be using the Mars Ascent vehicle, the European return lander? And if you could just sort of flesh out a little bit more what the Cislunar versus Direct options look like in terms of the trajectory, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
The answer is yes to both of your questions. Go ahead, Nikki.
Thank you. So yes, the Earth Return Orbiter is a key piece of both of the paths forward. The Mars Ascent Vehicle, yes, we would need, we definitely need a way to get off the planet. You know, it's hard to land on Mars. Man, it's hard to get off Mars. So we're very excited about working with our partners on continuing to look for ways to do that. The enabling piece in the new architecture, I can't say this enough, the enabling piece in the new architecture was really being able to get that smaller MAV, the smaller Mars Ascent Vehicle that allowed us to go back to the Sky Crane, which is really, really key. But yes, we would require a Mars Ascent Vehicle in both of the scenarios. Some of the engineering work that needs to be done is looking at the launch loads that would be on the landing system on either one of the two paths. You have to be able to, in order to have a Mars Ascent Vehicle that's ready to ascend from Mars, it needs to survive the landing. And so there is some engineering work that would need to be done on, exactly what the Mars Ascent Vehicle needs to look like in order to be able to do that. That is part of the work that we'll be doing in the next year coming into that decision point mid-2026. But both of those are very key. And then you asked for a little more details on the direct to Earth versus the Cislunar. If you kind of think of the direct to Earth as a sort of OSIRIS-REx type operation where there is an Earth flyby and the sort of return piece is dropped with parachutes in the same way, very, very similar to the way that we returned those OSIRIS-REx samples. That's the direct to Earth trajectory coming into Cislunar. Obviously, it's a different trajectory, but it allows capture by the Moon. Then the kind of return piece would stay in orbit around Cislunar, pending us sending something up to return it.
And another clip from that press conference about the involvement of industry.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Stephen Clark with ARS Technica. Your line is open.
With the commercial options under review over the next year, are you planning to fund any study contracts with them, put out an RFP or any sort of announcement for NASA funding to study their technologies and do some early development work for these options? Thanks.
So, yes, I think the question was, is what's the plan to get procurements out to enable the dual path approach. So the answer is we would like to get those in place as soon as possible. We've begun conversations with our Office of Procurement to do that, and we're working to put a plan together here in the next couple months for agency approval, and we're looking to get those done as soon as possible so that we can have the maturity that we're looking for at the agency confirmation review that Nikki was talking about.
And just a reminder that under the way that United States has worked in the past, the president proposes and Congress disposes. So, as Peter Beck said, we'll just have to wait and see what happens to Mars sample return. Congress is in favor, but the president is against. This has been the Space Show, and I think we just got time to mention that you can find us on the web at space.southernfm.com.au. space.southernfm.com.au.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.